Welcome back to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR, and those of you listening worldwide at KCNR1460.com. Aaron and Ryan and Bill Cundiff are your regular hosts. They are away this week, and in their place, our special guest talking about the upcoming recall, or the current recall drive going on in Redding, California, and all things related. Vint Stevenson, welcome back, Vint.
Thanks, Bob. Hey, and let me throw out another thank you to Aaron and Bill, wherever you guys are, relaxing, kicking back. I'm sure you're not watching NFL, but hey, thanks again for letting us have this time. And let me put out a real quick plug for those people who realize, or beginning to realize, or have realized, and now want to figure out what they can do to help. Go out to ShastaCountyRecall.com. Shasta County Recall, all one word. ShastaCountyRecall.com, and it'll give you some ideas, answer some questions for you, so on. And you can also go out to CrowdPack, and go to the little magnifying glass and click on that and put in Shasta, and it'll pop up, and you'll see Kristen Schrader and Francie Sullivan's smiling faces, and with a big old word recall next to them, and go ahead and contribute, because you know, as our society is, nothing happens without pushing it with a dollar. So whether it's radio ads or print ads or the mailers, all this stuff is coming out this month, and we need help. So do your part. I know this is a fantastic giving community when it comes to filling trucks for fire victims and doing things for underprivileged and so on. This community has never let us down. Amazing. Thank you again for all the things you guys do for the veterans. But here's a situation where, you know what, help yourselves. Dig in deep and give what you can. Go out to CrowdPack and search Shasta County, and let's get this done. And if you're out and about today and you listen to us on the radio, drive through the back alley. Come through here between KCNR, right where the restaurant is here on the corner of Market and, what is this street right here?
It's the corner of Market and Shasta. You're referring to Kobe Restaurant.
Yep.
That corner. And you actually need to enter the alley off of Shasta. It's a one-way alley.
Come in there, and we've got some people out there that will gather your signature for you and get you out the other side, and you can go forward with your Sunday and know that you did your part, and you took a big step for our community to get this thing sustainable. Let's talk about this community. I've got in here with me, besides Bob, who keeps us all in check, I've got Mike DeQuisto and Robert Balky in here with us, and we're talking about our community. This is us, guys. This is the United Shasta. You can call it a number of different things, but quite frankly, it is our community. And nobody's going to solve this for us. And obviously, the people who have been doing it, who have had the voices, have done let's just put it clearly, poor job. And we now find ourselves in a situation where we're having to talk about a lot of things that we never thought we'd want to ever talk about, or didn't think we'd ever be talking about. But quite frankly, we made some poor decisions, and now here we are. So you know what, guys, throw out some statistics for me. What are some things that you know about this community and about what we're being asked to endure, or what the people out there are being asked to endure? What do you guys know?
So,
wow, did you hear that silence? Oh my God, deafening.
Where do you start?
That's what I was thinking.
Let's start with crime. Crime would be a good one.
That's such a general.
Anybody know some general statistics? Here's one, guys. If you're out there and you're one of those amateur researchers and you love to dig in things, do a search and put out crime and then Redding, California and statistics. And just see what it pops up. Now, there's at least five. There's four that I know of that I've already done. And these are groups that, let's imagine you're moving to another part of the community, or another part of the country, excuse me, and you are deciding where you want to move to. You can put in a city and then put in crime next to it, and it'll tell you what the schools are like, what the crime levels are like. Is it a positive trend or a negative trend? Is it, you know, property crimes or violent crimes? I mean, it tells you all these different things, and then it gives your city a rating, and it basically says, yes, you should probably consider living there, or no. Keep on looking. Well, guess what, guys? We're a keep on looking type city right now. Basically, when it comes to property values, taxes, schools, crime rates, so on, it's trending negative. And so go out there and do your own research and look at that. For some of you who are looking for other areas to look for, go out to ReadingTownHall.com. ReadingTownHall.com, and you'll see salary levels, a lot of different things. All the things that are on ReadingTownHall.com are statistics, and they're all sourced. And so they all come from either the Reading, California city site or the Shasta County site. But these are spot-on statistics that are public domain, and you can go out there and you can trust what you're looking at. So when it comes to things like our current statistics with crime and so on, I mean, what do we do at this point, guys? Give me some ideas. What are some things at this stage when we look at crime levels? What do you see as possibilities?
Well, I'll tell you. When I ran for city council 4 years ago, or two, well, in the same election that the people are being recalled from, and I came in fourth, so I didn't get on. And that's fine. But one of the things that I learned from that was in talking to Chief Paletti, and he said, because it's the old chicken and egg, which is the jail versus getting arrested. And if you arrest them, where do you put them? And there isn't one answer to solve the whole problem. But what Chief Paletti said is if you aggravate the right people enough, they will go somewhere else and they won't want to hang around, even just getting busted. They don't like it.
Right.
So that, I think, needs to be shown more by RPD. And I think they are recently.
I do too, Mike.
I think they're doing a great job recently.
Roger Moore's doing a great job.
And I have, you can say, well, why is he doing it? And that doesn't, I'm not sure what that accomplishes as to whether they're doing it because of the recall or because it's the right thing to do. But the point is they're doing it, and it is the right thing, and I congratulate them for it. I think they should do it. They should continue to do it. And how should they do it? They should do it as often as they can. Mm-hmm. If they could do it every day for 90 days, I think it would make a big difference.
That would make a huge difference.
I think it would make a big difference.
Yeah, along in here, I introduced earlier Robert Balke. Their group, Justice Support Services, goes out and does some fantastic stuff. But having gone with them a couple times, I got a kick out of the fact that these people were so entitled that they were upset that the group was down there cleaning up.
Right.
I mean, for those of you who don't know me, if you ever decide you want to come to my house and clean up my house, you are very welcome. I might even make you some Black Rifle coffee. And I'll sit and watch you, and hey, we'll have a great old time. Great conversation. So to the thought that they would just, if it were me down there, I'd roll over and get out of the way and say, hey, how about this spot right here?
Right.
This is, don't miss this one. But they were upset. I mean, they were yelling at us and profanities and, so on, as they were shooting up and doing the other things. But I mean, quite frankly, I recently heard from somebody who says they're out there in the community and they're a leader, they're a community leader, and she's talking about, I'm starting to narrow it down now, she's talking about how this is a homegrown problem. Well, you know what? For somebody who proclaims to travel and get out there and be a part of other communities and see what else is going on, that's a pretty lame statement. This is not a homegrown problem as much as it is in San Diego or L.A. or San Luis Obispo or San Francisco. If you guys haven't been to some of these cities recently, oh my, they got problems too. And quite frankly, I'm sorry for what the problems that they're going through right now. San Diego, they've got a hepatitis A problem.
Right.
I mean, what would it feel like to be going out to brunch on a Sunday with your buddies and your girls or, your spouses, and you go, oh, God, what's the guy in the DEFCON suit going over there? What's
the hazmat suit.
The hazmat suit. He's like spraying down the sidewalk in front of you, Wow, this is fantastic. I think they're up to 18 deaths, something like that. They've had 400 or 500 people who have actually been hospitalized. I mean, this is just amazing, guys. I mean, come on. And we're still going to be this sanctuary area, and we're still going to do all these wonderful things. At some point, you got to realize you've been listening to the same group of people, these same voices for such a long time, and look where it got you. All right? You listen to the same voices, you're going to get the same results. That's all there is to it. These people are pushing this hard, and quite frankly, even in these huge stacks of evidence in front of them, these amazing levels of facts, they still will not begin to embrace and realize they've made a mistake.
Right.
And so this is a crazy thing. So, all right, so we've got some issues taken care of with, you know, just putting some pressure on them and chasing them from one. I think talking to Rob back in the day, he used to call it like the balloon idea. Yeah. You squeeze a balloon and they'll go the other directions, and then you squeeze that part of the balloon. And if you're in the studio, I'm actually doing it with my hands. Sorry, guys, I got to talk that way. What else, guys? What else? What other things can we do on crime? Just crime.
On crime, I mean, just more officers. I think really that okay. would help quite a bit. I mean, look at the crime just in Shasta County is ridiculous. I mean, they're saying you know, just a quick Google search from our infamous record Searchlight says statewide there's about 426 violent crimes per 100,000. Here in Shasta County, there's 680. Per 100,000. I mean, we've got some issues.
Yeah.
You know, where's all that coming from? Is it coming from the local homegrown, as they would say, transient problem?
I think she's been smoking homegrown. I think that's the way. So I mean, we got some big issues, guys, and we got them per 100,000. I mean, we statistics basically pan out that, you know, we've got this thing. More police can help with Mike, your idea of chasing them and, you know,
make it uncomfortable.
Make it uncomfortable.
Make it uncomfortable.
So it takes away their comfort zone.
That's what you want to do.
I get that. At some point, we've got to talk sales, though. I mean, we got to talk beds.
Right.
How do we find this out? I keep coming back to, we went out, Robert came with me and the sheriff and a few others.
Mm-hmm.
We went out and we visited Crystal Creek. And
right.
just looked at the absolute demolished area. I mean,
was terrible.
They just tore that thing up. And you can blame the county or you can blame somebody for not watching over it or doing whatever. But quite frankly, they abandoned it because they didn't think they'd ever use it again.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been turned over to the Parks Department and National Parks Department, and they want to put a campground in there and so on.
Yeah.
But you know what? You look at other avenues, and you can look at Sugar Pine. Sugar Pine is an area that they basically use for training low-level, low-security requirement mm-hmm. Inmates so they can fight fires. Well, guess what? We've got Prop 47, and we've got AB-109s, and we've got 57, I think it is.
Yep.
All of these have basically moved a lot of those lower-security people out of prison. So they're not in prisons anymore. They're, guess what? They're in our jail and on our streets.
Right.
And so the idea, my thought is, and I actually called the Attorney General and a couple others to try to figure out who I would actually speak to, but my thought is, I think we ought to have Sugar Pine. I think they ought to turn it over to the county. Why? Because it's the county who actually has those people.
Right.
So, you know what? As you're contemplating that and as you're putting pen to paper and writing your local representatives and your state representatives, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Indeed. You're listening to We the People. Our special guest host, Bent Stevenson, in for Aaron and Bill. You're welcome to call in at 530-605-4567 if you're listening live in the vicinity of Redding, California.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Welcome back to We the People. Now back to your special guest host, in for Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff today, Bent Stevenson.
Hey, guys. All right, hey, I'm going to throw this out there again. And we've got the signature people gathering in the back. We have Crowd Pack out there. Go out to Crowd Pack and do a little search, so, you know, that little magnifying glass out there for some of you. Put in Shasta, and it'll pop you up where we need to be. Or go out to ShastaCountyRecall.com, ShastaCountyRecall.com, and we'll definitely answer some questions for you. There's some frequent questions out there, so we'll get those answered for you. We were basically talking about a number of different things, but we had kind of gone down the path of solutions. Well, you know what? When people were looking around for solutions to our city issues, talking about some of the things we were being asked to endure, whether it be crime or budget issues or so on, there was a couple names that consistently came up. You've already heard from one of them, Mike DeQuisto. You're going to hear from the other one now. So when we're looking for solutions, there's certain types of people that we bring in. And today we're bringing in Aaron Reznor.
Good morning.
Welcome, Aaron.
Welcome. Thank you. I was going to say welcome also. Thanks for having me.
Great to be here. All right. So tell us, we're on the topic of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got for us?
Well, I mean, there's a multitude of things that we could talk about. But I heard you guys earlier talking about jails, and I heard you talking about crime and all of those sort of things. I would love if we could get three more officers or community officers who are going in and tackling the illegal encampments. I think that if we were continually doing that, then it would either make them move along. I would like it to be coupled with two things, because I think that if you, similar to what some of you guys were saying before, if you're making it uneasy and it's difficult and it's a pain, most people who are doing something that they shouldn't do are going to go somewhere where they can be in the dark, where they can be left alone, that sort of thing. And I think that the other aspect of if there were some more officers or a community member or a community officer who was going in and assessing who is it who has mental health and addiction issues that really would like some help, mm-hmm. so that then we can point them in the direction of services. There are lots of different places around the country that have heroin problems like we do. That, I mean, I think all over the country there are places that have it really bad, and places where it's not quite as bad, but all over the place. And some of them have successful programs, and I think that we need to do a better job of looking at what some of those successful programs. I know that a little while ago we used to have a drug court. And a program where someone could go in. I would love if we could figure out a way to get a handful more of those pre-sentence beds, because you have, when we arrest someone and there are pre-sentence beds and post-sentence beds, we have something crazy like a 90% failure to appear
mm-hmm.
rate.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can't.
FTAs are amazingly costly.
Yes. And so we can't exactly get somebody into a program like that, or get them help that they maybe need, or put them into a path of being successful later on, unless we can get them to appear for a sentencing.
What about a night court? Because night court was an idea that I threw at district attorney and other people. Basically, they said the judges would never go for it. They're judges union. They don't want to come in during the night. Quite frankly, I think we could get a group of people mm-hmm. to stand outside their house and bang drums and trash cans and so on to help them understand that that's not really an option, and they would probably have much more peace and quiet if we got them into the courtroom. The idea is, though, that when it comes, you bring up a great point, the FTAs, the failures mm-hmm. to appear.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to district attorneys and people who are sheriffs and so on, and it's amazing the number. These people just don't care. They just, I mean, you and I, if we had a summons to appear, you know, for whatever reason, we would be there. I mean, it would be important to us. They don't care. And so because they don't show up, then that means you've got city defenders and judges mm-hmm. and the court staff and all these people basically sitting on their hands doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And then that has to be rescheduled. And then we've got to put them on some kind of watch list out there and look for these people, Shasta's most wanted, because mm-hmm. most of them just didn't show up. That's basically their big issue. And so at some point, we've got to figure out how to put the pressure on them and make them be the ones, whether that be night court or that be some other way of saying, if you fail to appear, we're going to, I don't know, send you to Bakersfield. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be something that we come up with, guys, that helps put the pressure on.
They'll issue arrest warrants if you don't appear, but then somebody has to catch you, and they have to identify you and then correlate you with the warrant and then take you in. And then the person in the jail who's deciding who the most dangerous people are is going to say, well, this is just an FTA. See you later.
Catch and release.
If you guys ever get a chance, and these guys don't get a lot of credit, but the poor guys, gals that work in the jail, I feel for those people, because mm-hmm. they've got to every day make this decision. And every day they've got to decide – you know what, all right, which ones are the lesser evils, and let's let those people out. And they've got a sheet. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. I was actually up at the courthouse one day, and somebody, well, a family member, it looks like, left one of these sheets. And when I say a family member, I mean a family member of a person who was up there for all the wrong reasons. So they left this sheet, and it was basically all the rules and things that guide a person who maybe is not an English-speaking person to what they have to and what they don't have to answer. And it basically gave, here's the number that you call, and it'll be a Spanish-speaking, and they'll do this for you and that. And if they try to tell you that you have, you know, no rights on this and this, then you give us a call, and we'll do this. And these are just this continual breakdown as to what this person's rights were and what they didn't have. And then it also said, if you're one of those people who identifies as a different sex, you have the right then to ask for an opposite sex, or in this case, a same-sex person to pat you down and do that. So if Mike got arrested,
wait,
he could say...
Wait a minute.
Knows how I put that off on him. If you got arrested, you could say, no, 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 I identify as a lady today, and so I want a lady to pat me down. And they
if
would have
you say
to,
so.
they would have to recognize that. I mean, it's just amazing what these poor jailers are having to go through at this point to deal with some of the obviously lower level.
They have one of the hardest jobs on a daily basis in the government, I think.
So, all right. So we've got these people. We're chasing them around. We're hiring three new people.
Mm-hmm.
That's their focus. Just go around there and keep these people on the move and so on. I agree with you. They're going to get to a point where they say, you know what? I'm tired of being hassled. I'm going to go either somewhere else, or I'm going to find a place where it's in the shadows and I'm not going to get hassled. What about the beds, though? What are we going to do about this? We need these beds, whether we are going to take over Sugar Pine up there in a big movement and start taking a lot of our lower security people up there. What if we can't get that? What other options do we have available to us?
In the immediate or long term? Because
both.
I think immediately that we could get in there and figure out how it is that we can possibly get, I'm going to say a handful more beds, but in my mind I'm thinking that we can get 20 to 25 more beds to get creative, to discuss, to bringing in. I think that you'll probably hear me talk a lot about collaboration because I like to work in groups. That must have been something that was very popular growing up in the 90s or something along those lines. That must have been like I'm going to say Common Core for the 90s, but that must have been that we worked a lot in groups. And so I very much so like bringing in people and putting our heads together. I've been spending a lot of time speaking with people who represent all sides of that issue. But I think that we can, even if we need to, and we're doing some of this now, but send out a handful of people to other counties. That saves us a little bit of money when we do that. I think that we can get 20 to 25. And then there are lots of people talking, and we'll see whether or not it happens. And I think, honestly, the thing that's really exciting for me is that people who feel very differently about all sides of all of these hot topics, who have been talking about, can we come up with some sort of sales tax long term? Now, that is a long term sort of thing. And maybe it is that we continue to have the jail that we have now, but we also build something else. To house maybe a different section of the population. And then maybe it sunsets and we have a certain percentage of that tax that stays to maintain. Because I think that overall, the stuff that to sort of pivot, the stuff that I have dealt with and seen a lot in my experience on the CSAC in the city is that we historically don't do a very good job of long-term planning. We don't do a good job about saving. We build for what it is that we do long-term. I mean, for what it is that we have right now. Mm-hmm. And then we don't then have money in 20 years to replace whatever it is that is just not up to par with what we have going on. So whether that has to do with parks, whether that has to do with infrastructure, whether that has to do with jail, any of those sort of things. I think we have to start doing a better job of that savings. And there are other things that are smaller. I would love to see if we did something like bike registration. I think
I think that's a great idea.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Whoever thought of that should be the city manager. he doesn't want to be the city manager. He just wants city manager's salary. So it was just.
I think that it would be, but I think that anytime that we set something like that up, even say hypothetically you set up a bike registration and it's $7 and $2 to $3 of that goes to pay the administration fee for somebody typing in all of those, all of the registration and on the back end. And then maybe $5 of that goes towards something that has to do with crime. Or maybe goes something, and maybe it is something that the city gives towards local nonprofits who deal with some of those issues that we don't necessarily. Because it's not that the city or the county need to be really great in the mental health space or any of that. But we have other people that is their main gig, that we could financially funnel and support them. Mm-hmm. And they can tackle that. There are private sector percentage parts of the population who excel in those things. And so maybe we just funnel some of that.
And as a private sector solution, they wouldn't have CalPERS pension. And we wouldn't have to pay that. Just a thought. I don't know where that came from. But
you guys are onto something.
I think of a lot of this, guys. I think it's something that as we continue to develop ideas like Aaron's thrown out now and some of the things that we've talked about in the past, I think they're gonna come out in such a way that it'll almost be like one solves the other and it continually. I mean, because we're talking about basically two issues that we're having. The crime issue is a complete separate issue, but it's being exacerbated by the fact that we've got unfunded pension issues and debt issues and budget issues and so on. And the unfunded pension issues is being exacerbated by the crime issues because we can't. I mean, it's this vicious circle that we now find ourselves in, and we continually are going to push the limits of both when it comes to our ability to kind of embrace and react. And I think that's the part that a lot of people are now kind of at their wit's end with. And that is the fact that, you know what, no more studies, no more, you know, if you want to go out and look at, you know, what are the best practices for some of these other communities who are dealing with some of the same things. Chico mm-hmm. had some big issues. 2011, 2012, they finally said, enough is enough. And they brought in a reform city manager. All right. The reform city manager knew that they weren't going to be here for a long period of time. Their job was not to be friends, not to, you know, try to make allies, anything like that. It was to reform. And so right now, if you went through their breakdown as to what their employees are being paid, the highest paid person in that community, which is a bigger community than us, by the way, and has a bigger budget, is $170,000. And that's their chief of police. Nobody gets paid more than that. How many people do we have? For those of you who are out there researching, you can go out to a number of different sites. City of Reading site actually has their new salaries up, but you can go out to readingtownhall.com. Tell me how many people make more than $170,000 a year. I think you're going to be very surprised. If you're out there and you're just wanting to practice your numbers, go out there and count how many people are over six figures, 100,000. I think you're going to be amazed. And that's just in salary, not counting benefits and so on. We have basically a situation where we have so many people being paid so much. And they may be wonderful people, and a lot of them are. Actually, obviously, we know them. Mm-hmm. We're related to them. They're our neighbors and so on. But quite frankly, we're at a point where we just can't afford it, guys. So we're basically at that point. Where we're going to have to change things. But before we change things, we're going to have to take a break. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to We the People on Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR. Vince Stevenson, our special guest host today, in for Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff, will return after this.
Help in any way. Now these days are gone. change my mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down.
Now back to Vince Stevenson, our special guest host today on We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, and you're listening live on AM 1460 KCNR.
All right, I'm in the studio with a bunch of people who have no idea where that song came from. They don't even know who that group was. It's sad, just sad, but that's all right. We're going to give them a benefit of the doubt for just a moment. Hey, we're talking about a lot of different things. What?
Who was it?
Oh, my God.
The oldie but goodie?
It was that group McCartney was in before Wings.
Yeah, before Wings. But it's a very appropriate, considering our community needs help. And we're trying to get it. And we have some people in the studio who I think they have some things that will help. They have some things, ideas that will bring us to that next level. We're talking solutions right now. But as we're talking solutions, I want to throw out a couple challenges to you. One, go out to ShastaCountyRecall.com. Come by and sign the petitions. When you go out to ShastaCountyRecall.com or Transparency CrowdPack, go out to CrowdPack.com and search Shasta. You'll see beautiful pictures of Francie Sullivan and Christian Schrader out there with a big old recall right next to them. And it'll make you feel good about giving. It'll make you feel good about making an adjustment. Remember, it's nothing personal. It's just that we need some people with some different skill sets to come in and solve our issues. And then we can turn it over to those who want to feel good and feel like they're in a safer place inside the downtown rather than inside their own living room, all those wonderful statements that they've made. Well, and don't think it's a homegrown issue. The other issue is, as we move forward, I want you guys to become more aware. So I want you to go out to, in this case, ReadingTownHall.com, and I want you to look at what are the salaries of some of these people. I've heard a little person came through the studio and told us that our parks manager was number 92. So she's making roughly $142,000, something like that, has received four raises within an 18-month period over the last year and a half, two years. And quite frankly, I mean, that's, you know, it is what it is. And so now we're at a point where we say, all right, so who would do that job? If she's number 92 on the list of people, so there's 92 people or 91 people who have been being paid more than what she's making at $142,000, you know what? How much would you require to do that job? So go out there to ReadingTownHall.com and take a look at what these people are getting paid. And how many of you would do it for half? Give us a call. Get on the chat pack. You know, basically let us know. Would you do it for half? I mean, would that be enough for you? But let's talk about some other solutions while we're at this. We've got Dale. Dale, give us a shout out. What's going on, buddy?
Good morning. I would definitely do the job for half, and I think I won the lottery.
All right, which job do you want for half?
The parks director. Well, any of those $200,000 a year jobs, you know. I'd do it for $100,000 and think I've, you know, like I said, won the lottery.
All right. Well, we've already saved $42,000, so where else can we make some cuts?
But solutions, you know, solutions are, you know, this is part of the solution, getting rid of the dead weight at City Hall that does not want to look forward.
Well, let's talk about dead weight real quick, Dale. Chico basically took, I think they had 13 different divisions. That was a number that was thrown out, and they went down to five. Okay, and so I had somebody.
They also did pay freezes.
There you go. And so I had somebody say, well, what's the advantage of that? Well, you get to cut out eight of the managers. So you get to cut out all the support staff and all the things that go along with that. So, I mean, that plays a huge role in this. What do you think about that? What do you think about just cutting down the number of managers and the number of divisions? Do you think that'll help?
Oh, we've got to. And the sad fact is that these two council members, they just cannot say no to raises. Every one that's came up before them, they vote yes on. And we just simply cannot afford it as we're headed towards bankruptcy, as you spoke about earlier.
Isn't that crazy? Where I came up with the simple idea of kind of breaking it down is I saw what other communities are doing, but I also saw what's going on in our school districts. We have all these different school districts that are broken into these tiny little things. Well, each one of them needs an administration. They need superintendents. They need all these different things. And quite frankly, we have a lot of school districts right now that are actually deficit spending currently. We have some that are over $1.5 million, $2 million per year that are deficit spending. So I mean, we've got a real big issue when it comes to that. You know, that's
yes, we do, and that's probably why charter schools are doing so well.
Yeah, they've learned to compete. How about that? So thanks, Dale.
Have a great day.
Thanks, bud. All right, so guys, what are our ideas? We've got bike registration. We're cutting down, which I think the bike registration thing, not just because I happen to be one of the people that pushed it, but because, I mean, it's real simple. I think it'll give the law enforcement some teeth. It'll give them the ability to look at some of the bikes that are being stolen and where they came from and who's got them. It'll get rid of some of these little backpack little tweakers that are running the streets. It'll help in a lot of different ways. But what are some other ideas out there?
I got one for you.
Yep.
And it just came up yesterday when I was driving with my wife. When you drive by the bus stops, on occasion you'll see certain people there that don't look like they're waiting for the bus, who have taken up residence.
Shelter.
So mm-hmm. Perhaps instead of using general fund money, you could find some RABA money to hire one person whose job would be to go around and discuss the situation with those people and
excellent.
Find out if they're really waiting for it or not. It would allow you to increase your law enforcement support without taking it out of the general fund. And I would think, I haven't looked at the RABA budget, but you would think they could find a warm body to go and do that.
Yeah.
What about using volunteers?
Okay.
Bring the volunteers into the police department.
Well, and right now it seems to be a lot of the most impactful things we're doing outside of what RPD has been doing in the last few months. I won't say it's because of the recall, but it's because of the recall. the simple fact is honest. Maybe it's the volunteers that are making the big impacts now. So, I mean, your idea of using them, I mean, that's what do you think, Erin?
I think that there are lots of groups in town who want to do some work. The Rob, I happen to have someone who hangs out quite often at the bus stop in front of mine. And I think the thing that I usually think about, not only is it that it's someone's like entire house in front of my place of business, but is the aspect of I always feel really bad when there is someone who actually needs our public transportation, who needs to be sitting in that area waiting, and they don't feel comfortable because there is someone who sort of has taken up residence, and just like you wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable going into someone else's home, whether they're squatting in your own, a renter or something along those mm-hmm. lines that you're wanting to kick out. So that's the part for me where I really struggle in that. And I think that there are lots of groups that could do that. I think in general, we could take a very good look at what our transportation section, what our public works section looks like. I think that we need probably a couple. I actually think that we need some people who are more specific in certain areas of transportation planners, those sort of people who can go out and get us some of these really big grants, so that we could do some of that work. I mean, there's a lot of potential there, but I think that we need some people who are a little bit more specialized in certain areas where it is that we are lacking.
Well, we definitely need to make that impact, and whether it be with some grants that we haven't had access to already, mm-hmm. Or finding room within the RABA budget. Mm-hmm. When it came to the veterans, it was very simple. We have veterans who need to get to their appointments and need to do these things. We just had a fundraiser and raised, $12,000, $15,000 to buy those bus passes so those veterans could get to mm-hmm. their appointments and so on. There's got to be a way. And right now, the fact that they basically throw it out to the community and say, you need to endure this. You need to basically, overcome it yourself, and we're not going to help, or we're not going to do anything proactively to address it. It's unacceptable. And so now it becomes, we need to recapture those along with the riverbanks. The fact that right now the federal government's not playing a role in helping us on the riverbanks is amazing mm-hmm. to me. They pass laws that say every waterway is theirs. Mm-hmm. So if it's yours, then come deal with it. We want to be able to bring trout fishermen or people floating down the river or whatever down through there and not see naked people, bathing in it or defecating or doing these things. We don't want that kind of show for people coming from out of the community. So quite frankly, they should play a part. Why isn't public health playing a part? They know that what's going on in San Diego is going to happen here. Mm-hmm. So where are they? Why aren't they playing a role in getting out there and getting their budgets involved in dealing with some of the stuff that's going on in these encampments and so on? Or, in this case, in the bus stops. This is stuff that they should be involved in, too. And if we're going to send an officer out, then they get to tag along and they get to go out with them. I mean, we're at a point now, guys, where the people who have been involved are exhausted. They are doing everything they possibly can. Imagine each one of you are a colonel in the Marine Corps and you're having to look out for your troops. Well, you know what? Those troops are exhausted. They're doing everything they can to fight what they've got. They're exhausting their budgets. They're exhausting their manpower. And some of these other groups need to now be involved. So who are some other people besides public health, besides the federal government when it comes to waterways? Who are some other people who should be involved in this fight?
Can I speak to the fact that I think one of the things we need to first do before that is to have some better leadership that's saying, let's leave all of our stuff at the door and come in and all of us get around the table. Because I think that's part of the reason why it is that there are different sections of the government and different sections of the community and different leaders, and all of those people are not sitting around one table. They're all working in silos. And I think that first that comes from people who are leaders in the community, whether those are city council people or whether those are managers or county supervisors or what have you, or various just citizens who have some weight to say, let's set aside everything that has come before and say, we all have the same concerns. We all have the same why. So let's just come together around the table and decide how it is that you can do what public works does best. You can do what public health does best. You can do what the sheriff does best. Any of these California waterways, any of those that we have to be asking all of them. But it takes a leader in the community to reach out to all of those people and to say, like, hey, I need your help.
Absolutely. And I think that's a situation, guys, where we're all going to have to realize it's going to take compromise. It's going to take everyone realizing that you're at the table. You're not going to get everything you want. But in the meantime, we're at a stage where I think it's becoming obvious that the people that are now starting to speak, that you're hearing their voices like Mike and Aaron and so on, they're going to be the new leaders. They're going to be the people actually doing the things necessary to make this happen. But we're going to talk to Billy Bob, if you're going to hang on, after the break. And right now, we're going to get it done. Hang in there, guys. A few more minutes.
Reminder, you're listening to With the People on AM 1460 KCNR and online at kcnr1460.com. Ben Stevenson, our special guest, will be back to wrap up, our guest host, that is, will be back to wrap it up in a moment. Now back to our special guest on We the People, our special guest host, once again, Vince Stevenson.
All right, guys. Hey, let's real quick, if Billy Bob's still hanging on. Sorry, Billy Bob. If you're still there, give us a yell, brother.
Still here.
All right. Hey, what do you got?
Hey, buddy. Hey, great show. You haven't let down the high bar of the programming at KNCR. But
I appreciate that.
You've done a great job, and all I wanted to say is that your comments on the city council and the ineptness of these people to understand the problem that they're in and the demise of this community, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, shit, we're deep in debt. I mean, come on, and they don't even get it. They don't even get it. So anyway, Yeah, I think we had to recall all five of them, let alone two of them. So that's my say. I'll let you go.
Thank you, Billy Bob. Hey, yeah, let's take it one step at a time, though. Let's pick on the low hanging fruit and kind of go from there. When it comes to a couple things here, guys, I agree with Billy Bob in the sense that it doesn't feel like we're truly embracing our issues yet, and our issue being that we're broke. We're basically on the premise of a deficit spending and so on. I heard the conversation that was going on at City Council saying, you know what, let's sell the old police station to McConnell, and then immediately it went to, well, how are we going to spend that money? Well, you know what? When you're broke, you don't get to spend the money. It's already spent, and that's part of the problem. So, I mean, I think we've got some movement that needs to happen. So I'm going to give each of you 30 seconds. Quick, what are your ideas? What other things would you like people to start to plant some seeds? What would you like them to start considering?
I would love something that doesn't take any money but would help at least enhance quality of life issues is if we could do a better job. We do some of this already, but if we could do a better job of organizing some of those things, whether they're like Moms with Stroller Walk or they're like programmed toddler time in the park, some of those sort of things, the more and more we can bring light to some of those areas that people don't feel comfortable, the more that darkness will leave.
Okay.
And so some of those things don't cost any money, but we could do a better job of advertising what it is. The more we can bring people in, the more we can spur economic growth. I would love to see, and I've had people laugh at me, I don't know why, because this works in every other city, but I would like to see every county supervisor and every city council person at least once a month sitting down and making cold calls and building relational equity with other businesses that we want to have here. And even if you, maybe you open it up, maybe Barry asks and posts like a public poll that you can get on and you say, these are the, and we find the 10 businesses that, and companies that as a city that we would like to come here. And then as city council people, we start asking them, what do we need to do to get you here? And that doesn't mean that we have to break code. And that doesn't mean we have to do that. It just means that we have to be talking.
Perfect. Mike?
The lack of trust and lack of transparency are directly related with the current city and some with the county. And because the only way they can make money is by raising taxes or increasing business, and you're going to need money to fund a jail and some of these other things, which everybody acknowledges, if they could increase the transparency and increase the feeling of, yes, you're on my side, and the transparency would go a long way. Here's an one. They had a big fight before about the public comment at the beginning of the meeting, public comment at the end of the meeting.
Yes.
Put it at the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if you come at the beginning, you can get it done. And then
the rest of them will move on.
If they come to the end, get it done.
I like it. Robert. Mm-hmm.
Ideas for me, I think volunteers. I like to stick with that one. We talked about Reading versus Anderson earlier. Anderson has volunteer police department. They've got a bunch of volunteers there. Why can't Reading do that?
It's working in other areas.
Yeah, exactly. The more feet on the ground, we would be able to bring light to plenty of places, push the darkness away, get people moving, make them uncomfortable, and it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of today and for the discussion. If there is something that you would like to get out there, please contact one of these people, hopefully very late at night, and wake them up and let them know that enough is enough. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, and may we all come together to make Reading a better place. Go out to ShastaCountyRecall.com or go out to CrowdPack, let them know, or get down here and get your signature done. Bob, thank you for being everything that you are to this station. And thanks to Aaron and Bill for letting us have this spot. Again, thanks a ton, and do what you can.
All right, thank you, Vince Stevenson. This is KCNR, Shasta Reading. Be listening for next week's edition of We the People. Aaron and Bill will be back, and we'll have special guest Chuck Floyd talking about the developing Awan Brothers scandal.